that will begin the service by singing number 268. All people that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice, Him serve with mirth, His praise forestell, come ye before Him and rejoice. Number 268. We read to you the 12 articles of faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead, He ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, I believe in holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Further, we read to you from God's holy word, the Gospel of Luke, the 24th chapter, and we commence with verse 13, Luke 24. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us. For it is towards evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us, while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and has appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. This far. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Grace, mercy, and peace be given, and richly multiplied unto you from God the Father And Christ Jesus our Lord, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord, it is for the third time in this Sabbath day, a day of commemoration of thy resurrection out of the grave, that we are gathered in this sanctuary to hear again about the miracles and the wonders performed by thee, O Lord Jesus, on that day that thou came out triumphing and as a victor over death, hell, and sin, revealing thyself unto thy children, for whom it was a hopeless case, and for them who were ready to give up everything. Lord, open in this evening thy word and testimony. Strengthen us with all thy servants over the length and over the breadth of the earth, and that it may please thee to look upon us in mercy and in compassion. We can do nothing else by nature than sin everything away. But Lord, come graciously in our midst and in our heart, and glorify thyself in our soul as that King of kings and as Lord of lords. And where it is, as we hope to hear again in this evening, a personal matter between the Lord and our soul, Lord, make it personally for each and every one. It can be the last evening of our life, the last week of our life that we hear on earth. The world passes away with all the lust thereof. We have so many callings and so many admonitions to set our house in order, because we shall surely die and not live. Impress it in our heart by the irresistible power of the Holy Spirit, and to be reconciled with thee and restored in thy communion with thee. That is what we need to live in comfort and to die in peace. And that possibility, that way that is opened in thy beloved Son, as we hear in this Sabbath day that Christ is risen, truly risen, and that he is seen also of Simon, that man who had denied thee 3 times in his life. Oh, that the riches of that grace, that it be revealed and be given unto us in this evening, and that our soul may receive that strength by the applying of the merits of Christ in our heart and in our soul, and that we, resting upon that only foundation, Jesus Christ, and Him crucified, that we travel our pathway further to this Misek with hope and faith and love in our heart, knowing that where Christ was glorified in principle in the resurrection out of the grave, but soon ascended into heaven and sitting at the right hand of his Father, established the promises unto him, that it is also in the future for all thy dear children. Lord, comfort them and strengthen them in their most holy faith. And that the word that shall come unto us, that it for all those that live in an uncomfort state, one more conscious than the other, but that they are realizing the necessity that that miracle have to take place, as thou hast spoken in thy holy word, the hour is come and is now, that the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of Man, and those that have heard it, that shall live. Have mercy with all those boys and girls and children, and fathers and mothers who are living as that they were born. Draw them with the cords of eternal love, and make thyself known unto them as a God of full salvation. Look upon each and every one, sick and afflicted, all those that cannot gather with us. Strengthen them in all their needs, also in the hospitals. Bring them safely home to the dear ones. Also one mother who came home again and out of the hospital, and with us in this evening under thy word and testimony, give an heart to acknowledge thee, made it further well, and bless all the means to the conversion of those hearts, and that our life be a preparation to meet thee in righteousness and peace. Remember the country with all those that rule over us. Remember thy church over the length and breadth of the earth. Remember also the boys in the service. Leave them not over to himself, but that the fear of the Lord may fill their heart. All the widows and orphans and widows, strengthen them in their lonesome life. Look upon all those that in sorrow and in bereavement also amongst us. Lord, strengthen them also in the day of tomorrow, and that for that family and for the congregation, oh, that is, that it was a stirring up to seek thee while thou art to be found, and to call upon thee while thou art near. Remember us together, bless all the labors in the different congregations, in the mission fields, and where that thy word shall be brought also in this evening. Forgive all our sins and transgressions, and strengthen and sustain by thy almighty hand, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Number 45. 5, your offering will be for the church and for our school. 45. Now the king in strength shall be joyful, O Lord. Thy salvation shall make him rejoice. For the wish of his heart, thou didst freely afford the request of his suppliant voice. Number 45. Beloved congregation, Christ, while he was here on earth, in a state of his deep humiliation, he had spoken of himself as the good shepherd, as that shepherd who was already prophesied in Genesis 24. And in the Psalms we find it also, especially by the prophet Ezekiel, and all the evidences of a right shepherd are found in Ezekiel 34. But while Christ was himself here on earth, then he also, in John 10, he declared himself as that good shepherd, as that shepherd who had given his life for his sheep. And he had done it. He had done it in the Council of Peace. He had done it in the Old Testament. He had done it in the fullness of time. He had done it on the cross of Calvary, and he never have stopped with it, because even after his resurrection, then he had also appeared himself as that good shepherd, as that shepherd who was seeking his sheep and gathering them to bring them again to the right place. We will say something about that in this evening. My text is in the Gospel of Luke, the 24th chapter. I read only verse 13 to you. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. Furlongs, thus far. I have this evening four words in regard to the explanation of this text and this history. The first word is sad. The second word is surprise. The third word is comforted, and the last word is refreshed. Thus, sad, surprised, comforted, and refreshed. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village. In verse 13, we have already a clear evidence how that those people were. The one's name was Cleopas, the same as Alpheus. Who the other one was, I don't know. Some, they mentioned the name of Peter. But of course that is impossible when you read further in Luke 24 that those two men returned to the 11 disciples. Thus it cannot be Peter, but it would a great blessing congregation if we were one of them, because then it shall be well with us for time and for eternity. Behold, two of them. And now those few words, two of them, that is already an evidence that they belong to the disciples of Christ, that they were converted people. The work of God was in those two persons, but the important thing to prove that they were people with grace is that we read in this chapter that Jesus self drew near and went with them. You know that we read about the Lord Jesus that he came in this world to seek and to save those who are lost. And in John 1, he came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed in his name. Thus we have evidences enough that it were converted people. And also we can make that up out of their attitude. That people that went the same day to a village named Emmaus, that was the place where they were living. But they were not in that place with Passover. They were at that time in Jerusalem. I mentioned that today already, that in Deuteronomy 16, there you read the command of the Lord that every Israelite that he have to come to Jerusalem three times every year. They have done that too, because when we love the Lord, we have also respect for his ordinances. We find that in Psalm 119, so many times that David said, how do I love the law? And you find that described in that psalm time and again, what a love that there was for the ordinances of the Lord by David and with all those that feared him. But now the reason was that they returned from Jerusalem to their village because they have hoped that Christ would deliver them. And of course that have taken place, but in a different way as that they have expected it. That people that was also filled, even that they were converted with thoughts about the restoration of Israel as a nation. They were, even that they were converted, they were not free of it. No. They have so many thoughts about an earthly kingdom and free from the Roman Emperor. And of course, in that respect, their hope and their expectation was gone. However, there was deep in their mind and in their heart a knowledge and awareness of the third day. Later on they shall speak about that third day, but of course there was more darkness in their heart than that there was light in their soul about the glorification of the Lord Jesus Christ. Still, I mention to you evidences of spiritual life. And we have in that text in Luke 13, we have several evidences of it. It is very easy, congregation, to take them, very easy, because you read also, and they talk together of all these things which has happened. They talk together. And if you read that in the text, then of course there is much in that give us an evidence about the grace of the Lord that was in their heart. It was in those days very danger to talk in public about Christ. And to show in public that you did love him, because the enmity against the Christ that was so awful, we know that even those two men of Emmaus, de poeter lijf in de hand. By talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. That was of course the subject that evening. Why? Easy enough. Their heart and mind was filled with him. And it was with them the same as with all those other men and disciples. Christ had the highest place in their hearts. And now, of course, now he died on the cross of Calvary. He was buried. And that was for them an evidence that all their hope was gone. Humanly speaking, to give you an example this evening, we were almost for 3 weeks all the time that we were in the city, except the days that we could not be here, but otherwise we were every day as almost in the hospital with that boy, from the first evening to the last evening. It has happened even 3 times a day that we were standing there. But on Friday evening, when I saw that boy there, I came home and I say, I think that the hope is gone. That the hope is gone. And when it was 3 o'clock in the night, then it was the end. As long as there is life, the man is hoping. Parents are hoping. The longer that death stay away, there is a possibility to come back. But if the last breath is out of men, and in that same moment that face that changed became pale, then it is done. Christ died on the cross. He was buried by Joseph of Arimathea. Their hope, their expectation was gone. And of course, they were troubled, especially that third day. There was a rumor, and not only a rumor, but they have heard from women who had visited that sepulcher, that Christ was risen from the dead. That they have seen angels, that they have received an announcement that he was alive again. But for them, He was not alive. To believe, congregation, that is realized, can be the last evening for you and me. It is a personal matter. And it is so necessary that there is also to believe necessary for us a personal revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. I say this afternoon in the Alam sermon, God's people, that can sometime be encouraged, strongly encouraged. There can be moments in our life that we even forget everything, that it becomes so easy for our heart and for our soul. But we come back in ourselves, and when they come personally with the question, on what grounds and what are the evidences in our heart and in our soul, then we cannot answer the questions. And of course, it was not so nice what those two men of Emmaus were talking and thinking about those women, because they were one, we have heard this evening, two of them. And then later on, then they say also that those women were one with them. Dus it were not strangers, those women, no. They have the assurance in their heart that also those women, that it were converted people. There was no doubt about that at all. But still, to accept what those women have told them, that was for them impossible. Their heart and their life, that was full of questions. I would say this evening, unanswered questions. They have placed experience. Was it now all of myself? Was there nothing in from the Lord? Why, oh boy, if the root of the matter is in our hearts, then there was a time in our life that it became eternity. An eternity that is reality. There's not fun. No, but that is reality. And then to be lost. That there were moments that we have hope in our heart. Oh, I can't say much about it this evening, but the time is so short. Times in our life that sermons came back what we have heard in our life. That there were in quiet nights moments that the Lord was so near and dear to our soul. That we say, Lord, I love thee with all the love of my heart. That there were times in our life that we were crying behind the Lord. That we say with David, Lord, all my desires is before thee, and my groanings are not hid from thee. Lord, have I deceived my soul? Have I deceived my poor soul for eternity? Shall I soon be separated from thee forever and forever? There is a line in one of our psalters in 2:10. Of course, most of you know it by heart. And that said, no answer yet has brought relief. What a hard condition to live in such a time. And then to think the Lord had forsaken me. The Lord had left me over to myself. And then he had always thought in their life, if I shall be lost soon, if I shall send to hell, then it shall not worse for anybody as it is for me. Because then Hebrews 6:6, that come in between, tasted heavenly goods. The Spirit. And then lust. Forever lust. Oh, congregation. We are travelers to eternity. And one day the Lord shall require your blood from my hands. Thus we have to be honest with one another. And I can well tell you people, oh, we have not to ask for doubt and for unbelief. No, 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 no. But still the waverings of our soul, sometimes so great and so many, that we asked, Lord, have I deceived myself? If that now never comes up in your life, consider whether that the true work of the Lord was in your heart. Really? But now the people that was talking on the road with one another, they could not stop talking about it. When the one say something, then the other came with something else up. They were talking, said the text, together of all these things which has happened. And then at the same time, then the Lord Jesus came. Did they ask for him? No. No congregation. They were not asking for him. Because they did not believe that he was alive. No. It was not in their thought and in their mind. But he came to them. He was inwardly driven to go to the people. Driven to them. It were those that the Father had given him. And he was ready to seek those lost sheep. His heart was burning of love for his, for that people. Later on, then those two men of Emmaus, they would say, was our heart not burning in us when he spoke to us on the way? But Christ's heart was burning first. His heart was burning first to bring him to the right way. And now you think that they were glad with Christ that he came to them, oh congregation, in the first place. Their eyes were holden that they did not see him. They did not recognize him. And they were so overwhelmed with sorrow in their heart that Caiaphas, of the Cleopas, he was a little snappy. He was a little sharp. Because he said, what manner of communication are these that ye have one to another? As ye walk and ye are sad, I see it on your eyes. They are so red. They are so swollen. There must well be something. Oh, dear people. Our eyes most of the time so dry. So dry. But that was not so with the people there, with the two men of Emmaus. No. Everybody could see it on their eyes. Christ, he saw it also. That they were sad. But the Cleopas, he said, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? He would say to Christ, even the little children, they talk about it. Every heart and mouth is full of what have taken place the last 3 days in Jerusalem. They are all talking about that Christ, that Jesus of Nazareth. And would you be then only a stranger there? Cannot be. No. Yeah, humanly speaking, Cleopas, he would say to Christ, let us alone. Let us alone. Pour out our heart to one another. That is the only comfort that is left for us. We need no third person in between. But oh, what a blessing that when the Lord Jesus come to seek his sheep, that he let not send them away. No. And then he talked further with them. He said, tell me then what has happened. What things I will inform, I will listen to it. And then their heart and their mouth goes open. Oh, that was not so hard to start to talk about it. And then he said, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people. Those two men of Emmaus, they were honest. In what respect, people? All in that respect, they have known the Lord as a prophet. He had revealed himself as a prophet unto them. That was so deep in their heart. There was nobody in the world who could take that away. A prophet, and more, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. Thus a prophet before God and a prophet before all the people. And then with his preaching, thus with his words that he spoke, but also in the miracles that he had performed. Because there was not one that could do the miracles that he had done. They were convinced of that. And even that there was now a band of soldiers behind them that would grasp and that would crucify those two men of Emmaus. They would not stop to talk about that and to confess that. Because he was a prophet. But then how the chief priests and rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. Too bad that they have done it. Too bad. They have to learn that they have done it too. Because when we go deeper and the Lord brings us deeper in the way of discovering, then McShane, he said, I have crowned him with thorns. And I have filled his cup with my sin. Then it becomes a personal matter for each and every one people. But now, of course, they say that to Christ, for them at the present time, a stranger. I think later on they have well say we have done it. But now it was ook not necessary to say that to that unknown man. No. But then they said we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. We have fit our eyes upon him. We have placed our hope upon him all the time that we have known him. That he was the one that should redeem Israel. That they brought that Israel to the state as that they were before, a free nation. But beside all this, today it is the third day since these things were done. And now that third day that was so deep in their mind, people, that third day, Christ, he spoke in John 2 already about the third day, 3 years before already. And then he said, break this temple, and I shall build them up after 3 days. And now here, in all the distress, and in all their unbelief, and in all their doubts, they said, and we hoped. Beside all this today, it is the third day since these things were done. A clear proof, people, that about the lessons and instructions of the Lord Jesus, that there is always something that stays with the people. And that they never can forget. They were for himself in the most miserable condition. In a desolate condition, you know. But still, that third day. And then, of course, they start with that history of the women, certain women also of our company. There's not strangers, but certain women converted people with the same life as we have in our heart, with the same experience. They made us astonished, which were early at the supper. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre. That was Peter and John, they go early to the sepulchre, but they found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. And now they emphasize that late this evening about this verse, and him they have not seen. Thus it was Christ. And him only that filled their whole heart. And as long as they have not seen that Christ, then it was for them a hopeless case. But him they saw not. And of course, then we see also here in the text that the Lord is so merciful and gracious to his people, because You can realize they go farther and farther in their own ways, in their unbelief, mistrusting also God's people. And we can never say, congregation, how far that it can come, even in the life of God's children, in such a condition, I say not in a state of unbelief, because they were not in a state of unbelief. They were in the condition of unbelief. An unconverted man is in the state of unbelief. But God's people can come in a condition of unbelief and in the snares of unbelief. So it was with those women. But thank Christ, he brought it to an end. And he said, O fools, and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ja, dat is ook something. If there now a stranger says such words to you and to me, I think we were quick met. And if the Lord gave us not grace, then we fly up. And then he would well as give him an answer. Then he would say, you are not a fool. You are so wise. What are thinking you of us? Oh, that tongue, there's a little member, but a world of unrighteousness, of wickedness. Oh, that tongue. There was once a ministry, he said to a woman, he said, oh, take the sister and take something up from my lips. Really? Who is not guilty of that? But now here, Christ, he addressed him, oh, fools, and slow of heart to believe. And they say nothing back. They say nothing back to him. Why not? All the authority of that risen Christ, people. Even in a state of his humiliation, then he was teaching not as the Pharisees and scribes, but with divine authority. And now after his humiliation in a state of exaltation, much more, where he opened his mouth, he had to say nothing. And then he came down to them and he said, oh, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? You could know it and you have heard it so many times. The necessity that lay in the conditions that the Father had placed before the Son in the Council of Peace, that Christ must suffer and that Christ must die. And then, of course, at beginning at Moses and all the prophets, there is a certain explanation about that text. You can realize that. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets. Moses was the first writer of the Bible. And how many books did he write? 5. Was Moses also a preacher of Christ? Yes. Deuteronomy 18, verse 15. And he referred so many times to Christ. In Genesis, in Exodus, in Leviticus, in Numbers, in Deuteronomy, time and again, he spoke about the coming Christ, the coming Messiah and Savior. And Moses, of course, for himself, he was also a man that had knowledge of Christ. We read about the personal knowledge of Christ in the life of Moses, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Thus Moses personally had knowledge of the state of Christ's humiliation and the state of his exaltation. Christ was start with Moses. Congregation, we have to start with Moses too. We have to start with Moses too. Not with Christ, but with Moses. With the law of Moses. And if he does that example, then we are in a biblical way. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. They were there as in a moment of time. It goes so quick because they were under the ministration of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had taken in their whole heart already. Their whole heart. And the Christ, however, that he nog still was unknown to them, he made such an impression in their heart. He made as though he would have gone further. That is his coming way that he held with his people. He would tempt that people again to know what there was in their heart. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us. For it is towards evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. That was what happened there. The Lord gave the desire of them that fear him and that walk in his ways. Let that be a comfort for our soul, people. For all those that seek him. For all that people whose heart goes out to him. And how first the power of Christ in their ears. And soon in their eyes, because they have Christ already in their ears, and then later on they receive him, they saw him in their sight, in their eyes. He went with them and he tarried with them. It came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave it them. For as you would say a strange thing, he was a stranger, so far a stranger for them. And think that now as in people, naturally, if now a stranger come in your house, even that you have a little love for that man, but then you say when you come in your house, sit there. You give him a chair to sit. You go to the kitchen. You make something ready. That is not the work of the stranger, but that is the work of the man, of the woman that belongs in that house. Here, those two men of Emmaus, they were sitting down. And that for them unknown person, he took bread. He did as if he was the possessor of the house and of everything. And then he broke and he gave it to them. Christ did there as he always was doing while his disciples were living in those 3 years. But then at the same time when he blessed the bread and he broke it and he gave it, then their eyes were opened and they knew him. And he vanished out of the sight. The scales are falling from their eyes. And they saw that risen Christ. What a surprise, people. What a surprise. What a great wonder that there had taken place. It is not to explain in words, but a surprising Lord that Christ is for his people. And then they said, was our heart not burning within us? Well, he talked to us on the way. And while he opened to us the scriptures, now it problem came to solution. And you read of not there that they were grieved when he left them. No. Why not? Because Christ left that people there with his body, outwardly. But in the heart he stayed there, and he remains there. They received him as their portion for time and for eternity. It is too bad it is 8:30 about this. We have no more time to sing. And we all have to go home again. Isn't time to everything. But oh, congregation, that the preaching and the reading in this Sabbath day, that it be blessed and be sanctified to our souls and to our heart. And if we go home now soon, oh, that we could say, Lord, 'twas not in vain that we were in thy house. But it was a blessing for our heart. I was glad that I was there. And there was under the reading and preaching a little warmth in my heart and love for that risen Christ. That I say, Lord Jesus, come. Lord Jesus, come. And reveal thyself and speak to my soul. I am the good shepherd. And that good shepherd gave his life for the sheep. He is doing that still today. My uncomforted fellow traveler. Oh, that the Lord sanctify the words to our heart. And that this Easter, that it become unforgettable, you can still be comforted. The door is not closed. Christ is standing. that stretch out arms to young and old, great and small, look unto me, all the ends of the world, and I shall save you, that it never testify against us in the day of days, and that God's people go with a joy in their heart to their homes this evening, knowing that that risen Christ, in the power of his resurrection, that he shall reveal himself to the soul as a first proof of what they soon shall receive, that they shall see him perfectly in heaven, and then to give him all the honor and all the praise and all the glory, O congregation, that our soul receive meditations in the week that lay before us of all that we have heard, and that the third person in the Holy Trinity, it apply to all of our hearts. Amen. Lord, bless thy word and testimony. Remember us together in mercy and compassion. Bring us safely home to our destinations. Remember each and every one in distress, in bands and in sorrow, and also in snares and in distress. Oh Lord, thou knowest everything. Thou knowest all things. Remember the congregation with offers bears in the heavy test that laid upon their shoulders. Give wisdom and understanding in everything. Remember the school and the teacher with its children. Look upon us together in mercy, and prepare us to meet thee in righteousness and peace. For Christ's sake only, amen. We sing now number 427. 427. This is the day of full salvation that God has made and sanctified. 427. We start with the sixth stanza. Thank you. bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.